I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved in a racial incident.
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, July 25th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is indeed a wild and dystopic ride. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. Do we still have road and stuff? I think we do. While we still have the opportunity, we are all road warriors and the gumption, shall we say. So here we are, another exciting day, this Tuesday, July 25th, and over the last 3 days in particular, three broadcasts, specifically last Thursday and Friday, July 20th and 21st, and then yesterday, July 24th, I dug into some subject matter that I have been dancing around for a while, and the motivations behind certain things that we don't realize, and we're seeing those come to fruition now. It's interesting. One of the things that has been stuck, sort of indelibly etched into my mind for quite some time now, is Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, and specifically those three main reasons that Hayek outlines that are the basis of the title of that chapter, Why the Worst Get on Top. And it's I would say in part how, but the chapter is titled why the Worst Get on Top. And the reason this is so transfixed in my mind at this point, I think, is because we are living through an era, and you can make the argument, I think, very easily that even in our own short history here in America, we've had turbulent times. We've had moments of disagreement and times of heated debate. But this is different, I think. I think those concepts that Hayek outlines have been scientifically engineered. The recipe basically has been seized upon and engineered. I think that was the case in the World War II era. I think it was already in process, you know, coming through World War I. You had folks like Edward Bernays, who were part of the World War I propaganda mechanism. And then coming forward into World War II, those efforts were refined and improved. And so when you look at those three main reasons that, you know, you are appealing to the lowest common denominator, and that those who have no strong, they don't have a strong set of beliefs themselves and don't know what they believe, which reminds me of Bertrand Russell writing about the same thing in The Impact of Science on Society. And that's America today. This is who we are. The way that Bertrand Russell put it in The Impact of Science on Society, in Chapter 2, General Effects of Scientific Technique, he wrote, "The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated." And that's another thing that I've sort of discussed and we've looked at a little bit in the last few days with the examples of Andrew Tate, for instance, and how, you know, so many things, the optics of so many controversial subjects or people or issues, you know, whether it's Andrew Tate, Donald Trump, the Russiagate stuff, the Biden family and Ukraine. When you start digging into the details, it's interesting how quickly things seem to get murky. And for some people, I would say, you know, things like COVID and the vaccines. You know, we played the clip of Bobby Kennedy Jr. Yesterday. Last week, we played the clip of, you know, his opening remarks at the censorship hearing where Democrats, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, were trying to censor Bobby Kennedy Jr. at the censorship hearing, which is very ironic, but we played his remarks on vaccines and vaccine injury yesterday, the history as part of a broader discussion. And Dr. Judy Mikovits tweeting about this, and That was sort of the basis of the conversation. I think we should play that clip again. You know, she talked about it was part of a thread, basically, for those who may be interested and don't know. And she was she mentioned his book, Plague of Corruption, Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s book, Plague of Corruption, and the excerpt, the relevant excerpt, and included the video clip of him actually unpacking the statistics. We should probably just play it again and let him speak in his own words. This was a couple of years ago at Calvary Chapel. I think Judy Mikovits' church, she said, talking to on a panel with Pastor Rob McCoy and Judy Mikovits, if memory serves. But the point here is, you know, for some people, when they start to dive into the the controversy over vaccines, they don't get this kind of a clear unilateral picture. It's very murky. It's very unclear. The way that the information has been skewed, gives a person a very mixed impression. And so then what do? We want to lean in the direction of whatever the more credible institution is, and that would most typically be a government agency. This is, again, something that Edward Bernays talked and wrote about, and the Bernaysian types. You know, this is not an accident by any means. It's very intentional. And so, again, you know, back to the words of Bertrand Russell and the impact of science on society, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. Most people don't realize, they don't go the extra step, they don't dig into the facts on vaccines, for example. Maybe we should just play, I think we should play Bobby Kennedy Jr. in his own words again. Let me do that real fast. We'll get that ready. You don't typically get this kind of a very focused picture. And you can see, you know, usually what we get is the facts are stripped out. We get cherry-picked facts. This, you know, reminds a person of the old cliche, lies, damn lies, and statistics, which has been attributed to Mark Twain, who attributed it to Benjamin Disraeli. But really, in the modern era, it reminds one of Daryl Huff's book, How to Lie with Statistics, published back in 1954. And the guy who wrote a blog post about it at the same time he was given a TED Talk, you know who I'm talking about. Usually you don't get, in those kinds of instances, and there's a lot of, you know, speaking of that, I should mention that a companion to this discussion would be, you know, we've through the COVID era in particular, and really going back at least a decade, back to, I think, about 2008, we've been having a discussion about how scientists and some epidemiologists were sort of tinkering with and goofing around with trying to dig up the Spanish flu and recreate it and so forth. And many of us have been horrified as that was happening over the years. And, you know, asking, why would you want to do that? At the same time, you have these people saying, like the guy who gave the TED Talk and wrote the blog post about Daryl Huff's book, the guy who has been photographed with Daryl Huff's book on his stack of books on his desk several times. Why are they so preoccupied with this? And why are they saying, you know, this could happen again? At the same time, it's an interesting confluence of subject matter. So there's a post on RBN from 3 days ago, July 22nd. It's a TikTok video, actually. And the post is titled, How Does It Compare to COVID? Spanish flu, not Spanish and not a flu. How does it compare to COVID? And there are related posts. This is something we've been talking about for years. The related posts on RBN, the Spanish flu playbook. Does this sound familiar? Or the 1918 Spanish flu, quote unquote, only the vaccinated died. Or COVID-19 is not the Spanish flu. And there are others, but we had this conversation along the way. We dug into the details a little bit on the flu that wasn't a flu and shouldn't be called Spanish. Anyway, we're getting short on time in the first segment. We should play Bobby Kennedy in his own words about vaccines. Can we do that, please?
Black boys who got the MMR vaccine on time, which means under 36 months of age, under 3 years, had 336% higher chance of getting autism diagnosis than children who did not get it on time. CDC used to be called the Public Health Service, and that predecessor agency to the CDC was a quasi-military agency, which is why people at the CDC still have military ranks like Surgeon General, and they dress in uniforms. And the vaccine program was initially launched as a national security defense against biological attacks on our country. And this is a quote, vaccines cannot be made safe. They are unavoidably unsafe. We are going to kill and injure a certain number of children. And when they passed this statute in 1986, in the preamble of the statute, it said vaccines are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. Not one of the 72 vaccine doses now mandated for our children has ever been tested against a placebo in preclinical trials. And the reason for that is an artifact of CDC's legacy as the public health services. And they knew if they called it a medicine, they'd have to do 5 years of safety testing. Why 5 years? A lot of the injuries that come from medication are autoimmune injuries and allergic injuries and neurodevelopmental injuries that have long diagnostic horizons. You can do the study and you will not see the injury for 5 years. Autism, for example, usually is not diagnosed for 4 years after the vaccine. So they said, we don't want to do five-year studies. Here's how we're going to evade it. We're going to call them biologics rather than calling them vaccines. The other big advantage that they got was this DTP vaccine was killing so many kids, and they were getting sued. And Wyeth, which was the big company at that time, it's now called Pfizer, went to the Reagan White House and to the Democrats in Congress, including my uncle, Senator Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, who was chair of the Health Committee at that time. And they said, we are paying $20 in downstream liability for every dollar that we bring in sales. And we're losing our shirts on vaccine, and we're going to stop making all vaccines unless you give us immunity from liability. And what my uncle said and what Reagan said to him at that time, why don't you make the vaccine safe? And what they said is, and this is a quote, vaccines cannot be made safe. They are unavoidably unsafe. No matter what we do, we are going to kill and injure a certain number of children. And when they passed this statute in 1986, in the preamble of the statute, it said vaccines are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. They knew that a lot of mothers believed the MMR vaccine was causing autism. And they believe that by studying the MMR vaccine alone, isolating it from the other vaccines and studying it alone, they could exonerate that vaccine, and they could use that to exonerate all the vaccines. So they did a study where they just isolated the MMR vaccine, and they looked at children in Georgia, which is where CDC's headquarters was, and they had five scientists on it who were their top scientists. And what they found was when the data came back, black boys who got the MMR vaccine on time, which means under 36 months of age, under 3 years, had 336% higher chance of getting autism diagnosis than children who did not get it on time. Why do black boys, why are they susceptible? As it turns out, blacks have a much more robust immune system than whites. We now know this because there's a guy called Andrew Pollard who's on their side, and he works for the Mayo Clinic, and he's done these studies, and what he's found out is that blacks only need half of the antigen that whites do. That means if you double what they need, you're going to push their immune system over the cliff. And you're going to get an autoimmune reaction because it's going to hype it. It's going to supercharge it. And the body of those black boys is going to begin to attack their own body, thinking that it is a foreign invader.
We're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back.
So there's that clip. This is just, you know, not to get sidetracked, but that's Bobby Kennedy Jr. in his own words, who has been directly involved in the subject matter for quite some time now and is definitely, I would say, a subject matter expert. But do we all are we all acquainted with the facts that he gives in that video clip that we played just before the break? I dare say not. And it's interesting, you can do a search even on Google. Google has to acknowledge this turn of phrase, vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. You will find all kinds of results, including, interestingly enough, a USA Today article that was just published about 10 days ago, 11 days ago, I guess, titled, No, the Supreme Court Didn't Declare Vaccines Unavoidably Unsafe, Fact Check. And I would say this is a textbook straw man argument in the discussion. This article by Chris Mueller mentions the Supreme Court case, 2011 Supreme Court case, Bruceowitz v. Wyeth, and the ruling, as he points out, a federal law does not allow vaccine manufacturers to be held liable by people seeking compensation for injuries caused by vaccine side effects. The case in question began when, in 2005, the parents of a girl who suffered seizures and permanent brain damage after receiving a DTP vaccine sued the vaccine's manufacturer, arguing defective design of the vaccine caused their daughter's disabilities. But with a 6-2 vote, the Supreme Court sided with the manufacturer, deciding that the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, quote, preempts all design defect claims against vaccine manufacturers brought by plaintiffs who seek compensation for injury or death caused by vaccine side effects, end quote. Justice Antonin Scalia wrote for the court's majority. And so he links in his article to the bill, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And you know, how many people are going to read this? If you've actually read it, then you, first of all, just starting here, you realize that this subject matter is in view. And this is a bigger discussion. Again, this is a broader discussion. This gets back to the administrative fourth branch discussion, which is a broader discussion we won't dive into today. But, you know, you bump into this peculiar phrase that's been used for about 150 years now, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, which is a weird turn of phrase. Is this communist Russia or communist China? But that's the turn of phrase. And Ralph Winterroad, true seeker of the far north, knew this. He talked about the case United States versus Babcock back in 1919, where in that case, Justice Louis Brandeis, who gave the opinion, used this peculiar turn of phrase, and let's see if I can just pull it up real fast. If the interwebs will cooperate. For some reason, it's not cooperating. So, Brandeis basically said, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. And he prefaced by saying these general rules are well settled. Back in 1919, these general rules were already well settled. And if you understand the turn of phrase, you understand that's horrifyingly Orwellian. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour, as we dive down the rabbit hole today, this Tuesday, July 25th, 2023, let's see if we can back out and get back to kind of where we started. The whole point, as I mentioned at the outset of today's broadcast, this all really ties back to the last 3 days, or the broadcast, July Thursday, July 20th, Friday the 21st, Monday the 24th, continuing with this theme, really the kind of the essence of which is, in the absence of a solid foundation, or I would argue the rock solid foundation, the rock being a proper noun, you will eventually fall prey to the most persuasive, influential, air quotes, messages, motives, and agendas. Or as the cliche goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, it seems. And we live in an age where deception is the order of the day. There's a concerted effort on an ongoing basis to mislead people and deceive people. Why would that be the case? And who would want to do such a thing? So I mentioned before we went to break the landmark case, United States versus Babcock, 215 U.S. 328, back in 1919. And in the opinion, I mean, I'll just give you some background, not to go too far down the rabbit hole. Most people don't know what they believe. I have been saying, and, you know, I mentioned as a bit of, for context, Bertrand Russell's words from The Impact of Science on Society, Chapter 2, General Effects of Scientific Technique. What happens in that kind of society? Do we live under a scientific dictatorship in America today? Are our lives planned in every conceivable way, but in a way that is largely undetectable or imperceptible to most people? I would say the answer is yes, which calls to mind Goethe's infamous quote, Mr. Faust himself, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. So we are Americans. We live in America and we're free. And so I would ask, free from what or whom, and free in what sense? Because again, as Hayek points out, the old freedom about 100 years ago, beginning with Woodrow Wilson's The New Freedom, literally the title of the book, starting around that time, the argument was that the new freedom is the freedom from want. So freedom from what or whom? And really, if we want to be painfully and brutally honest, evidence of the grand conspiracy is in the fact that the real freedom is freedom from the creator of heaven and earth. That's what is really behind this grand design of the new freedom. That's a different discussion. But with regard to Bertrand Russell's words from The Impact of Science on Society and the notion that under a scientific dictatorship, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated, as exhibit A for today, perhaps, since in keeping with that theme that I've done where now we're still in July, it's still Independence Day season, if you will, we can ask the question, free from what? Free from whom? Free in what sense? In what context? And can we, while we're at it, can we talk about our founding documents? Can we talk about, you know, who can cite any of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the first 10 amendments to the Constitution known as the Bill of Rights? And why a Bill of Rights, by the way? Are we familiar with that discussion? The arguments for and against a Bill of Rights that we read in the Federalist Papers, those 85 arguments that were advanced arguing for and against a Constitution versus the Articles of Confederation. Are we familiar with any of this? And people will say, well, you know, I'm not a constitutional expert. And I think I would say, well, we should be. We all should be. If we're Americans, people come from other places and they are tested on this information, yet we were born here. Those of us who were born here, the testing that we receive is very academic in nature in the pejorative sense. And so as Exhibit A, in contrast to that, I give you the case of United States versus Babcock, where back in 1919, Justice Brandeis said, in offering the opinion, I'll just give you the beginning of the paragraph. These general rules, we should back up so we understand exactly what was happening here a little bit. I'll do that in a minute. But Brandeis wrote, number one, that the United States, when it creates rights in individuals against itself, is under no obligation to provide a remedy through the courts. Then he offers citations. United States ex rel Dunlap v. Black, 128 U.S. 40. And a few others. Then he says that where a statute creates a right and provides a special remedy, that remedy is exclusive. And the citations that follow end with Farmers and Mechanics National Bank v. Daring, 91 U.S. 29. And then he continues, still the fact that the right and the remedy are thus intertwined might not, if the provision stood alone, require us to hold that the remedy expressly given excludes a right of review by the Court of Claims, where the decision of the special tribunal involved no disputed question of fact and the denial of compensation was rested wholly upon the construction of the act. See Medbury v. United States, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, but here Congress has provided that, quote, that any claim which shall be presented and acted on under authority of this act shall be held as finally determined and shall never thereafter be reopened or considered. Basically, you know, if I could simplify this, backing up, and this is probably more than, you know, beyond the scope of today's discussion, but just a little bit of background. The question, just from the beginning, backing up a little bit, these cases which were argued together are appeals by the United States from judgments entered in the Court of Claims. In each, an officer in the Army recovered compensation under the Act of March 3, 1885, for the loss while in the service without fault or negligence on his part or of privately owned personal property. In each case, the claim had been duly presented within 2 years of the occurrence of the loss, and the Secretary of War had decided that the articles in question were reasonable, useful, necessary, and proper for such officer while in quarters engaged in the public service in the line of duty. In the Babcock case, the horse of a captain stationed at the Presidio died in 1910 of strangulation because the government furnished, as the forage ration, barley with the ons on it. In the Hayden case, a lieutenant stationed at Texas City, Texas, lost in 1915 his personal effects during a hurricane and inundation while he was endeavoring to save the property of the government and of others as well as his own. The claim for the horse had been disallowed by the auditor of the War Department on the ground that quote, "The death of officer's horse was not caused by any exigency of the service, nor from a cause incident to or produced by the military service," end quote. He had disallowed the claim for the personal effects because the 250 U.S. 328 330 property was not lost or destroyed by being shipped on an unseaworthy vessel, nor by reason of the claimant giving his attention to saving property belonging to the United States, and the auditor's decision was affirmed on appeal by the Comptroller of the Treasury, et cetera, et cetera. Skipping forward, the questions whether the Act of March 3, 1885 authorizes recovery. This is post-Reconstruction, by the way, just as a little note. Questions whether the Act of March 3, 1885 authorizes recovery for horses under any circumstances and under what circumstances it authorizes recovery for other personal property have long been the subject of controversy in the auditing department and in that of the Comptroller of the Treasury. See 20 Decisions of the Comptroller 238. But here we are confronted with the preliminary injury. Has Congress conferred upon the Court of Claims jurisdiction to determine in any case whether recovery may be had under the statute for an article lost or destroyed? The right asserted is based upon the provision which declares, quote, that the proper accounting offices of the Treasury be and they are hereby authorized and directed to examine into, ascertain, and determine the value of the private property belonging to officers and enlisted men in the military service of the United States, which has been or may hereafter be lost or destroyed in the military service under the following circumstances. Continuing, and that the amount of such loss so ascertained and determined shall be paid out of any money in the Treasury, not otherwise, 250 U.S. 328, 321, appropriated and shall be in full for all such loss or damage. So this is the issue in question, the right asserted based upon the provision which declares the aforementioned. And so Brandeis, in the opinion, prefaces the answer with "these general rules are well settled." This is 1919, and he begins, "these general rules are well settled, number one, that the United States, when it creates rights in individuals against itself, is under no obligation to provide a remedy through the courts. And then number two, that where a statute creates a right and provides a special remedy, that remedy is exclusive." And if you understand, I mean, I realize that is that's heady stuff, especially if you're trying to do other things. Maybe you're multitasking. If you hear what was just read, that flies in the face of what we believe flies in the face of, shall we say, constitutional orthodoxy. Because, and one could argue military service, but again, we start going back and back and back. We have to go back to, I think, the Federalist Papers at a minimum, which is a sort of detailed reflection in 85 papers of the arguments for and against our constitutional republic. And when you start looking into the opinions of these folks that were writing these letters, Hamilton, Madison, and Jay, as sort of emblematic of the sentiment of the day, we realize that this idea of the regulars being institutionalized, the military establishment being institutionalized, is anathema. And then what happened was we obviously had that occur. And then based on those precedents coming out of the Reconstruction era, Brandeis says in 1919, these general rules are well settled. And then we creep forward into the modern era where we have the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case that literally flips our system. Finally, that's kind of the watershed moment where legally we go from the common law to this administrative system. And then we have the Wickard versus Filburn case just a few years later that proves anything the federal government thinks that it touches, it thinks it owns. That includes all of us. And so this is in contravention to what we think we know about our constitutional republic. More on that one.
Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
So let me see if I can just sort of wrap this up a little bit. Speaking of the Federalist Papers, example entries in this particular context might include, I should give you the number and the working title of them, probably 24 to provide for the common defense, 25 the states and the common defense, 26 the powers of Congress and the common defense, 27 the enforcement of the supreme law of the land, certainly 28 a national army and internal security, certainly 29 the regulation of the militia, and then perhaps others, including 30 a general power of taxation, and there might be others, but you know, focusing perhaps on 28 and 29, a national army and internal security and the regulation of the militia, to get at least some kind of perspective and context. And I dare say, if you, it's fascinating reading if you're not familiar, but Federalist 28 and 29, a national army and internal security and the regulation of the militia, will give you a perspective, sort of window into our own historical background and our American constitutional republic that varies widely from what we see today. And these arguments that we've heard, which are raised, if they're, you know, for example, let me just give you in the remaining moment here, the opening of Federalist 28, the National Army and Internal Security, to the people of the state of New York, obviously, that there may happen cases in which the national government may be necessitated to resort to force cannot be denied. Our own experience has corroborated the lessons taught by the examples of other nations, that emergencies of this sort will sometimes arise in all societies, however constituted, etc., etc. The idea of governing at all times by the simple force of law, which we have been told is the only admissible principle of republican government, has no place but in the reveries of those political doctors whose sagacity disdains the admonitions of experimental instruction. Should such emergencies at any time happen under the national government, there could be no remedy but force. Etc., etc. This, even I think in the opening words of Hamilton's essay, Federalist 28, you get the idea that government by emergency is not the order of the day. It is de facto, not de jure, contrary to the state in which we live today. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up, we'll continue
American
this.
Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.